This is Talk at 10, your weekday interview show on Marfa Public Radio. I'm Tom Michael, and I'll be your host for this episode. Well, it's a new show, the fall show for Ballroom Marfa. It's called Immaterial, and there is an artist's reception, an opening reception tonight at the Ballroom Marfa Gallery on San Antonio Street. That's Highway 90 here in Marfa at 6 o'clock. From 6 to 8, there's an opening reception. At 8:30, a community dinner at the Capri. And here to talk, here to introduce the show Immaterial, is its curator and executive director of Ballroom Marfa, Fairfax Dorn. Hello, Fairfax.
Good morning, Tom.
So this new show, Immaterial, includes 12 artists, and seven of them are present. This is a large show for Ballroom. Again, this is the big fall show opening tonight. There'll be an artist walkthrough tomorrow at 2 o'clock. How long have you been working on this show?
Well, I've been actually thinking about the show for a while, for a couple of years. I've been wanting to work primarily with the artists that are actually with us today in the studio. And I've been following their practice and interested in seeing their work being presented in the context of Marfa and actually in a ballroom.
And the show is called Immaterial, and I'll just ask about that. It could mean several things. One, unimportant, something that's immaterial, but also spiritual as opposed to physical. I imagine there's a lot of room, breathing room here with the name of the show, but I'll ask you, why immaterial?
That word came about because of, you know, the show took different, I mean, at first it wasn't going to be strictly about the idea of abstraction or formalism. And as it sort of moved into that direction, just trying to think of different words to describe the show. And I thought immaterial was an interesting word because it has multiple meanings. And like you said, it can mean like something that is not even worth acknowledging, or something that is spiritual that transcends. And I thought, you know, a lot of the work that's in the show, I think, has either the material can either sort of fall apart and disappear, or it's the opposite of immaterial in terms of it being something very solid in form. But also most of the work has some aspect of, I think, transcendence in terms of like spirituality and so forth in its own right. I mean, I don't see the artist describing it that way, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're the curator.
Well, so. I'm not a curator, but they're the ones who, you know their work better than anyone else. So.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Fairfax Dorn. She is curating the current fall show at Ballroom Marfa. It opens tonight, opening reception at 6 o'clock at the gallery, the Ballroom Marfa. There'll be a community dinner at Capri, which is just further west down Highway 90. That's at 8:30. 12 artists, seven of which are here, and... you know, I'm a slow learner, Fairfax, but I noticed they're all women.
That's a great observation. Like, people will pick up on that. That was part of a show that I've been working on and thinking about for the past year and a half. Has been about, like, wanted to focus on women.
What I'm saying is nowhere in the press materials do you say that you're not
explicitly. No, and we're not talking about gender here. It's not, the show is not based on gender. But those were my parameters in terms of organizing the show.
Well, we have several of the artists here as well, and I think I'm going to go over to this side of the room here. And again, we're pleased to have in the studio several of the artists involved in Immaterial. We're now going to hear from Lale Karamian. She joins us. By the way, the four artists that are here include Lale Karamian, Rosie Kaiser, Aaron Sheriff, and Heather Rowe, and they're all here at the radio station, and we're going to hear a few words from them. They're all currently working and living in New York City. Hello, Lale. Hello.
Hello.
Lale was born in Iran. She was educated in Chicago and elsewhere, and is currently working in New York. You've done some projects that some of our locals may have seen, a recent project at Site Santa Fe, mm-hmm. which was last year, among others, and currently showing in New York. Who represents you in New York?
Salon 94.
Salon 94 in New York as well. And so we're pleased to have you here at Marfa Public Radio. Tell me, did you choose work for this show? Did Fairfax work with you to choose your pieces for this show, and how many pieces do you have in the show?
No, the really wonderful thing was that it was a commission, and I was given a lot of freedom and basically asked what I would want to do for the show. And I had just finished a very long film that had taken me a few years to finish, and so I really wanted to go in the opposite direction of...
By the way, let's jump in. We learned that you got your BFA in film at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago in the late 90s.
No, actually, there was no discipline. There was... they didn't exactly have a discipline. You just graduated in fine arts, visual arts.
Okay.
So it was just a very flexible program.
That was an interest of yours at the time.
as opposed to RISD, which had a very fixed major where you had to just work in painting, which is what I was in, which I've really always worked as a painter and think of myself as a painter.
So you just finished a film this year, and Fairfax contacted you.
Yeah, I've always been working through film and painting and drawing, and then I kind of brought back my interest in film and worked with animation the last 6 or 7 years. So I decided to make a film for this show, and one of the requests on Fairfax's part was that I come to Marfa and observe Marfa and spend some time here and make something from what I discover of the place, which was for me really the opposite of any way I've actually worked. So that was quite exciting, and I think it made me think of it very experimentally and freely. So I think it really fits the context of the show in some sense.
Using kind of blunt layman's terms, your work can be termed as maybe messy. There's something really clean though about Marfa. Did that affect things?
No, I'm still messy, I suppose. No, it's the work I do is really I work a lot with monotypes and paintings and actually looking into the details of what I create and sort of going microscopically and then magnifying that, and that becomes the place of which I set scenarios for the films. So I use the landscape here. And in surrounding areas like Big Bend and even as far as White Sands and Fort Davis, and there's landscapes and things that I just worked with for the first time live image as opposed to just my own paintings to create a film. And actually in this film I combined both, and also humans. There's like people in the and characters.
Do you have a title for your piece here?
Yeah, it's called Liuto Golis. And
is that a word of your own invention?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it pretty much could be a planet or a plant or kind of subspecies, and
we're talking to Lale Karamian. Again, one of the artists featured in Immaterial. I'm going to turn over to Fairfax now to remind people that the opening reception is tonight, Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m. There's a dinner at 8:30. But also Saturday, there's a walkthrough at 2 p.m. And then that evening, tomorrow evening, Fairfax, Ty Siegel will perform at the Capri at 9 o'clock, followed by a DJ set by Boom Bip. Ty Siegel. Did Lee Cohen, your music director there, bring in Ty?
Lee Cohen spotted Ty Siegel, and they are a band based out of San Francisco.
He plays with bands such as Sick Alps and the OCs, which is played on our indie independent rock show on Tuesday nights. And Ty Siegel, kind of a new psychedelic garage rocker.
Right, they're emerging. They're fun, very lively, and I think everyone will be in for a big surprise at the Capri because Rob Crowley's in a special installation for this particular performance.
Rob Crowley, who does a lot of lighting on some of the shows here. Well, again, we're talking about the show Immaterial. And another artist that's joining us in the studio is Erin Sheriff. Erin Sheriff received her MFA from Yale University, BFA from University of Victoria in British Columbia. Are you Canadian?
Mm-hmm. I am. Hi.
Hi. And you live and work in New York City. You've shown at, I believe, MoMA and PS1.
MoMA PS1. Actually.
Right, MoMA PS1, yes. And at the Metro, you have a piece in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Fantastic, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell us, how did you come to this show? Was it also a commissioned piece?
As Lale said, Fairfax was just terrific in terms of, coordinating us to come to Marfa and leaving it fairly open. I had worked on some sculptures, and I guess that Fairfax you saw in New York at Lisa.
Mm-hmm,
I work with a gallery in New York called Lisa Cooley, and I guess when we were talking about the show, the sculptures I had been making sort of seemed to make sense with the theme of immaterial. They're made with ash primarily, and it's actually kind of it's a hard material to find in an urban center like New York because of strange sort of burn laws, which are understandable. But it was a really sort of hard material for me to get.
Your work is made of ash? It seems so sculptural and heavy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exclusively ash. It's mixed with a gypsum sort of composite, mm-hmm. And it's made into a solid form through water. So it's pretty... a very sort of pedestrian process, but the ash is what gives it this facade of sort of, it actually kind of resembles rock, I think, from far away, but actually maybe even from close distance too. It seems quite solid, but it is ash. And so when we came down to Marfa, when I came here in advance of coming here, Nikki at the ballroom, Nikki Itner, love that woman. She put the request on Marfa List, this thing that you guys have here,
mm-hmm.
Craigslist, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And these people that in town donated this amazing quantity of ash that I don't actually know their names. The Evanses.
Yeah, I think it's the Evans.
Mike
Green's cousins.
Terrific people.
Yeah, they've been helping out Erin make her work without.
Yeah, they like really delivered like
so
boxes of ash.
So your work is made with local materials.
It is, yes, absolutely. And just up the street at the Masonic. So Heather and I both worked there. And Rosie was upstairs. Lale, did you work at the Masonic?
No.
No.
Yeah.
So just up the street.
I know your work also includes photography. I believe there was a New York Times review this summer that mentioned you in passing, the work.
Maybe the video.
That
was composed of photographs. Yeah.
Okay, but for this for this show, Immaterial, do you have a title for your piece here?
No, they're all untitled, but it's the forms of the sculptures. They're very abstract, and they're sort of based off of shadows. So they're called Untitled Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're showing a video. Actually next to this beautiful piece that Heather just completed, so in this space. So. But I'll let her describe her piece to you.
So again, back to the theme of immaterial being more spiritual than physical, the idea of shadow and the idea of a film in Lale's case as well. So, and also, it seems like you all were working a little bit here over the summer. Was there some idea at that point, Fairfax, about how the pieces would be installed? Because, you know, you're here in town, you see the gallery, you know the spaces.
Well, we really thought Mike Bianco, our associate curator, and Alexander Mills, our art installer, generously put together a whole entire model of a ballroom. Thinking, and we thought we understood where everything was going to be installed.
Wait, they modeled it?
They
like
modeled
a 3D
the ball,
model.
Yeah, like did a miniature model of the gallery. And this has been one of the most challenging, but in a great way, exhibitions to install, because all the work is very sensitive, in terms of how they interact with each other and how they communicate with each other, because they really do sort of... they're very different, but there's an interaction there that is sensitive, that yeah, that became difficult. So it wasn't very, it wasn't immediately obvious mm-hmm. in terms of how we're going to install things. But we did, you know, I did work with each, you know, of the artists in terms of talking about their work and what they were, the process and so forth and direction of the work. And
we're talking about the big fall opening for Ballroom Marfa. It's called Immaterial, curated by Fairfax Dorn. 12 artists, 7 of them are here. We've got 4 in the studio, and we're going to turn next to Heather Rowe. Heather Rowe also lives and works in New York City, a native of Connecticut. And she, of recent note, was featured in the 2008 Whitney Biennial with a piece, I believe, called Screen. No, I got that wrong.
Yeah.
We'll move you up to the mic. Okay. Were you not in the Whitney Biennial?
No, I was in the Whitney Biennial, but it was called Something Cross the Mind.
Okay.
Mind.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, it's great to have you here. Again, you were also living and working in Marfa over the summer, putting together pieces. So how did you approach, you know, when Fairfax spoke to you first, how did you approach the project?
Well, I usually work pretty large scale. I do these big installations. And I had just done one in New York at my gallery, Demilo Taras. I just finished that and had a show in May. So I was kind of thinking that I really wanted to get down to a level where I could kind of, it was like a more manageable scale for me to really work on and sort of like, just be able to be really getting into the materials. The thing that really struck me when I first, you know, got into the car on the drive here from El Paso is the landscape. And I don't get out of New York that much, and it really was kind of overwhelming to me. I almost felt like claustrophobic in a way, and I kept thinking of this film where these two guys get lost in the desert, and that kind of stayed with me for the trip, and I ended
up... Was it the Gus Van Sant film?
Yes, Jerry. Yeah. Oh. I kind of wanted to name my piece.
I mean, I'm sure there's millions of
Jerry,
films about...
But, and it's like 3 hours long. It's really like slow, but I kind of wanted to make these two pieces that were kind of these two characters, and that they kind of, the pieces sort of, they use mirrors and they sort of fold in on themselves, and they're kind of meant to be these like little insular things that are kind of, you keep like revolving into or folding into.
You've worked in the past very large scale with wood, mirrors, almost construction materials in some ways, and I can't do the math really quickly in my head. You know how art is described in inches. Your piece for the Whitney was some, like 420 inches, which has got to be, you know, like 15
feet. Yeah,
16 feet. So here, did you feel confined working at a smaller scale?
No, not at all. And the studio, I mean, also my studio in New York is way smaller than the Masonic Lodge. So it's kind of like a different thing, but not at all.
Mm-hmm. And so your piece, a reflection, a rumination, on the desert, getting lost, anxieties about the desert, or interactions between people in a hostile environment.
I guess one of the pieces was made with materials that I found at a dump here. So it's called Screen (parentheses Marfa Materials), and I kind of was thinking about the way the elements really like beat up materials out here and these kind of surfaces, and especially I would ride my bike by this lot that had these like tiles that looked like there was a building there, and it's next to the gas station, and it has these tiles that look like it was peeling up. So for this piece, I wanted to kind of do a reverse of like, I painted green, this really bright green, and then put all the materials I found over it. So it's kind of like a skin covering like this freshness and the used parts. And then the other one is all new materials and meant to be more of an illusion of a theatrical type of space. With these kind of like scrims and new wallpaper and mirrors.
Mirrors, there's such a deliberateness to mirrors. Is the idea also to catch the viewer?
Yes, definitely. That always occurs with mirrors, I guess.
We're talking, those one-way mirrors. Well, no.
Use those too. No, they do the same thing too. Sorry.
Through the Looking Glass. With Heather Rowe here, we're talking about Immaterial. It's the new show, Ballroom Marfa. We have 4 of the artists in here. We haven't yet heard from Rosie Kaiser. Again, I want to remind people, opening reception is tonight. It's a very powerful show, 12 artists, seven of them here. It's a major show for the area, and we're pleased to have several of the artists and Fairfax Dorn, the curator, here. And also, there'll be a community dinner at 8:30, and tomorrow a walkthrough with the artists at 2 p.m. Also, music that evening at the Capri, and that's music with Ty Siegel, followed by DJ, a set by Boom Bip at 9 p.m. We're joined now by Rosie Kaiser. Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
Rosie's a native of the Northeast, Baltimore, I believe. She also lives in New York City, Brooklyn, and also received her degree, one of her degrees from the MFA from SAIC, the School of the Art Institute in Chicago. And who represents you currently?
Peter Bloom Gallery.
Peter Bloom Gallery does, right. That's what I thought. So I will ask you now the same question. Your pieces tend to be very abstract and somewhat muted, maybe even desert-like colors. How did you approach this commission?
What I was struck with when I came out here was this overwhelming feeling that matter and atmosphere were really reflexive, and that these sort of usual bearings that you rely on to figure out, you know, where you are, point A, point B, are oftentimes kind of seen in reverse. And this transfiguration of matter is quite common, you know, and depending on the time of day, the state of the light.
So you might see the mountainscape that looks like a, you know, kind of a negative background, you say seen in reverse, or a flatness to it, when you know there are peaks and valleys, depending on how the light strikes it in the late afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. And and the rawness. I kept thinking about a song by Howling Wolf called, a line in it is, "I asked for water, she gave me gasoline." And I think that speaks to the sort of the shifting of...
Let's listen to a little bit of that right now.
Okay.
Oh, I asked her for water. Oh, she brought me gasoline.
Oh, wow.
But I oftentimes in my work, I like to sort of span the divide between something moving up in space and sort of becoming more materialized, and something sort of losing its substance and returning to where it came from. And that idea of, like, you know, that something could be kind of self-combustible and, if set on fire, return to this dust. I use the Marfa thrift store as sort of this village lost and found, and bought these sheets that had these sort of, like, you know, sort of typical Southwestern patterns, and I used a rolling pin and some rope that I got here and created this sort of printmaking process, which I've used for the paintings.
So are these similar, just size-wise, so get a handle on it for our listening audience, similar to pieces you've done in the past, like a 6x8 or?
No, typically my paintings are about 80x100.
Mm-hmm.
There's a painting in the show called Desert Collapse, which is a bit smaller. And there's an even, the smallest painting is called Stick Chart, 1 mile elevation.
How many pieces do you have in the show?
There are three paintings and one sculpture. The sculpture I actually made here.
One of them, Desert Collapse, and the other two, do they have titles?
Panoramic Delay is the largest painting in the show. Desert Collapse is medium-sized. And then the smallest one is called Stick Chart, 1 mile elevation, Marfa being 1 mile above sea level. And kind of a sort of remedial, very archaic way of finding yourself. You know, stick charts were used out at sea for sailors who, you know, long before maps were used. I like using very, very basic things to kind of elevate materials. And as Fairfax was saying, there's sort of an element of transcendence in the show.
As Heather mentioned before about a film, Jerry, Gus Van Zandt film, there's a Gregory Peck film about getting lost in the desert. I think it's Gregory Peck. And he uses a compass and... Oops, sorry, Howling Wolf again. He uses a compass to find his way because there's something, being a naval captain, he can find his way anywhere, especially in a desert. It's called Big Country, the name of the film. We've been pleased to be speaking to Lale Karamian, Rosie Kaiser, Aaron Sheriff, and Heather Rowe about how this area, Marfa, influenced their work for this show, Immaterial. Again, we're joined by Fairfax Dorn. I believe we had thought to get Ty Siegel on later, who's the musical guest.
It looks like they might be still asleep.
We just got a note here that he is fast asleep.
Should we call maybe later?
Maybe we could just make a loud noise. Maybe he has the radio on in the background. You're listening to Talk at 10 here again, that opening reception for Immaterial at 6 o'clock. And, you know, I also want to remind you the community dinner at 8:30. Tomorrow there'll be an artist walkthrough. And let me ask you, Fairfax, you know, seven artists walkthrough. How is this going to work?
We have other artists that are here who did not create new work for the show, and they include Linda Madelon, Esther Klaus, and Barbara Kasten. And they'll be present as well. But basically I'll introduce the show and then ask, you know, the seven artists to talk about their work and their process and their materials and kind of go over the other artists who are not present, their work as well. Mm-hmm.
Usually sometimes with group shows, people are just thrown together, but it seems like this group, Fairfax, has been working together alongside each other, I should say, alongside each other somewhat, which is unusual.
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, some of these artists have definitely been shown in other exhibitions together. But I also wanted the show to sort of span over generations of artists. So we have a lot of different, amazing women in different ages. And
they include Barbara Kasten, Rosie Kaiser, Rachel Kadura, Lale Karamian, Esther Klaus, Liz Larner, Erlea, Manero Zabala, Linda Matalan, Julie Maretu, Heather Rowe, Aaron Sheriff, and Charlene Van Heil, who is
married to Christopher Wool.
Christopher Wool, a part-time Marfa resident. Again, that's Immaterial. Anything else we haven't, any other thank yous we need to get out there for this show?
I just encourage everyone to come to the opening tonight because I think it's a beautiful show. I'm very proud of it and proud of all the artists who participated. And we have lots of people to thank. But Bird has been amazing.
I know.
Parrot,
right. And,
and Alexander Mills and Rob Crowley and our ballroom team, Nikki Eidner and JD DeFabio and our interns, Louise Dickens and Anna. And
I know you've had support.
And Mike Bianco.
By Texas Commission of the Arts and the College Charitable Trust. Contributions by Peter Bloom Gallery, Ballroom Marfa members, of course, and others. Well, thank you so much, Fairfax, for being on the program.
Well, thank you for having us.